Hey, I'm Scott Hanselman. This is Azure Friday, and we're talking about Redis, some advanced techniques, and some application patterns with Saurabh Pant. So you got some ideas on how to make Redis applications and applications that use Redis correct.
Yes. So I have a few examples here of how you can use Redis. Now, not an all-encompassing way of using Redis. There's a lot more scenarios. Mm-hmm. We'll choose two. We'll just talk about them.
Okay.
The first one I have here is using Redis to provide a secondary index on top of table storage, Azure table storage.
Okay.
So I have an Azure table storage provisioned. I have 1 million entries in it.
Oh, wow.
On customers. The table is customers. It is the primary key and the secondary key are, it has a primary and secondary key, but that's not what I want to sort on. So let's say I want to sort on customer name, which is not the primary key.
I see.
And that can be expensive when you're looking through 1 million entries.
Okay.
And we are using Redis to generate a secondary index. So what you've seen here is that when I put a request for a particular name,
right,
it's first going to Redis. All Redis does.
This is for a read.
For a read, yes.
Okay,
yes.
So.
And this is purely website, from a read pattern.
Azure website wants to read that record.
Exactly.
All right.
It goes to the cache first. All the cache is doing is maintaining a mapping of that name to its position in the table.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives the position back to Redis, which in turn gets it from table storage.
Back to the website, rather.
Back to the website, sorry,
okay,
which gets it from table storage. So now, instead of getting it directly from table, we are going to Redis first,
mm-hmm,
and then going to table.
Now, table storage is typically very, very quick. I've read Troy Hunt's articles on having 50, 100 million records in table storage. Table storage is very known to be very fast,
yes,
but only fast when requesting a certain way?
Yeah. So when you, on a primary index, a table storage is really fast.
Mm-hmm.
When you want, essentially when you know where to go to directly, you can access it really quickly, but if you do need to search through it or sort through it, that's where you end up running into issues.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other patterns of solving this. Cache is, I think, one great pattern of solving it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily, if you have read-only data that does not modify too quickly,
right,
this makes a lot of sense. You can statically keep the mapping, just go to it directly,
mm-hmm,
and then get it right off table storage.
Mm-hmm. So in this example here, you're not having name as a key.
Yes, it's not
therefore
a primary key.
Requesting by name would be extremely time-consuming.
Exactly.
In Azure table storage.
Yes. And what people typically do is they'd have a primary key, but they naturally have a set of columns. So they could be name, they could be other items that you want to query on.
Right.
You could have a separate cache for each of these. We discussed the databases within Redis. You can separate it out.
Right.
So I could have had, I think this 1 million keys just took me like 20 KB to store in Redis.
Seriously?
Yeah, so I could it's just data.
Because of indexes, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, I could, for any secondary index that I potentially might use,
mm-hmm,
I could create a mapping and keep it in my cache,
mm-hmm,
so I can do it much, much quicker.
Well, how and when did you generate this? What code generated this index?
Yeah.
And when in the application lifecycle did that get
so
made?
So the pattern we see is that for data that changes statically, changes not that frequently.
Right.
Folks would have a runner which runs, let's say, every 1 hour.
Like a product database.
Yes. So you would, maybe every night at 2 a.m. you have something that runs and repopulate the cache.
Right.
And then you're done for the next day. Worst case, when entry gets added that you do not find, you just go to table directly.
I see.
You're no worse off.
So if this is a cache miss, he goes and he makes the call and it's a long call.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
So the typical pattern is you populate the cache externally, and you can choose the frequency of how you want to do it. You could use an Azure website web job. Anything that runs on a schedule could keep going and repopulating it and keeping it on sync.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, it's a simple pattern. Just talk to cache, get the index, talk to storage.
You know, and a lot of people, I think, sometimes will look at an offering like Redis Cache and they'll say, oh, only 25 megabytes? That's silly. That's not enough memory.
Yep.
I'm going to need gigabytes. They'll pull the slider bar and the pricing calculator over and they'll go, eh.
Yep.
But they're not maybe realizing what they should be storing in here. In this case, you're storing indexes. And even though it's 1 million records over here, it's K,
yes,
not even a megabyte,
yes,
over here.
Yes.
You can make rather good work of an efficient
yes, there's a lot Redis you can cache. Do with a 1 GB cache.
Okay.
Absolutely.
What's your next?
So I'll actually just quickly show this in action.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, so I have this.
Even better.
So I have this running. So I have it. I'll share the source code of it as well and put a link with the video.
Awesome.
I'll work with you on that. So here I have this app running. You can, as I type in this box here,
right,
I'm also able to provide autocomplete, because that's how fast the cache is.
You're using the Redis cache, you're giving it, you're saying like Z star, and it returns it fast enough that you've enabled autocomplete.
Exactly.
That's
so
hot.
That's fast enough, and then we'll just choose one of these. We'll ask it to run both. So it's querying from both patterns. It's querying table directly and YR cache. Now it does take a while to complete because, like we said, it's a million rows it needs to go through.
Right, because you said search the table as well so that we could measure the difference.
So we can compare the two, exactly.
That is quite a while. I mean, a million records, it's basically for each-ing over these things.
Pretty much. Oh, we're still waiting. And there you notice, it came back in 67 seconds for our pattern, milliseconds, sorry. And then it was, I believe, 21 seconds in this particular case. Now, it does take a while for, table does warm up after first access. So you'll see this number go down, but not
still,
significantly enough.
It's the difference between, it's 5 seconds instead of fractions of a second. So
exactly.
if you turn that off, go ahead and turn off that checkbox and search for another another name.
Yeah, we could search for a different name. Again, choose.
Someone starts with A, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
43 milliseconds.
Yeah, less than 50 milliseconds.
Yes, and this is milliseconds all the way from the client application putting a request to getting it back. That involved Redis cache, talking to table, two lookups. What I also have, though, is, like we mentioned earlier, data structure.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't even need to store key value pairs. Now you can store these indexes in a sorted list where you can now perform actions on it. So one of the key, the most popular usage of Redis I've seen outside of .NET is Ruby, and mostly in games. And there, folks love the ability to use sorted lists and do leaderboards.
Right.
So we've done something like that here. I have the product database here, but it's in a sorted list.
Mm-hmm.
So now I can do something like asking it to just give me the top 10 entries. Now I can do that for our top 100. Now I can actually do that on table itself, but I'll have to collect all those entries, sort them, make sure I have the top 100. Here I can just tell Redis, give me the top 100, and it'll give those to me. So again, we'll query table directly and do Redis, getting the top 100 entries.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you'll see a markable difference. Here, my product database is smaller than customer.
Right.
So it's not a million records. But in spite of that, there is value and performance in going via Redis. So if you look at the numbers here, it was twice as fast to go to the Redis cache.
Right. Interesting. And this is really important to point out, though, that this isn't to say that table storage is slow.
No.
This, the example, is that table storage, in this case, is not a database per se.
Yes.
And if you try to treat it as one, throwing it anything,
yes,
and hoping that thing's not going to be indexed appropriately, then you're going to
Absolutely. And there are other patterns of solving the problem as well. And the cache could be one way of solving it efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if you're doing primary index, then the value you see is smaller with cache, but still folks find value. And it also is a very specific application pattern, which is more read and less write.
Right. And ultimately, measure when you're making your applications.
Absolutely. Yes.
Very cool.
Yes. Yes.
Cool. So you have one more pattern to show me?
Yes, we have one more pattern. And now this one's different. Well, just to give the full flow of things. What we're going to do here is, and I'll show the website to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Signal R demo.
Little HTML5 game here.
Yeah, exactly. So what it does is you can have multiple clients connected, and you can have Fireworks Explore on each client, and you see them on your screen as well as everyone else connected.
Oh, okay. And I'll connect to it over here as well.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
Fireworks Redis.AzureWebsites.net.
Yep. And I just loaded it up, so it's still loading. Once it comes up and connects.
All right, I got it here. Status disconnected.
Okay, well, yeah. Mine's connected. If you refresh, yours should connect as well.
All right, hit refresh. Connecting.
Okay, and so on my end, you'll see that I have Fireworks firing. I hope you have as well.
There they are.
Okay. So what this is, and I'll, from an application pattern perspective, a typical SignalR app, you host it on a server.
Right.
You have multiple clients connect to it. SignalR does this magic. All of them see the fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
But what if you scale out that server hosting SignalR to 10 of them?
Right.
Now you only have clients that are connected to that server that can share in this fireworks fun. Now what we do here is by providing a Redis backplane, you can actually now have the SignalR pops up pattern apply to, in a distributed fashion, across web servers.
Right.
And that's all this is.
Because when the browser connects to like website web 1 and this one connects to web 2, there needs to be a way for them to communicate to each other.
Exactly.
And in this case here, that list of all connected clients in the state, that session state, for lack of a better word, is behind.
Yeah, so Redis has a feature for PubSub, and SignalR has built a Redis backplane that utilizes the PubSub features in Redis, mm-hmm. where they just create a channel for fireworks.
Yep.
And Redis takes care of the work of notifying all other web servers mm-hmm. when a SignalR event happens.
Now, I have an application that does SignalR, but I use Service Bus as my backplane.
Yeah, so this is another example. Yeah. So Service Bus provides more reliable messaging, and Service Bus is really important when you want reliable messaging because mm-hmm. your messages will not get lost. Mm. Redis provides highly performant but non-reliable messaging. So in a scenario for game where we might be all right losing a few fireworks, you can look at Redis. If this was an enterprise application where you absolutely wanted guaranteed PubSub,
right.
Service Bus makes much more sense.
I see. So in an architecture where people are playing a game, and if I lose a laser gun
exactly.
or the movement,
exactly.
you keep going because it's about the speed and the flow.
Yes.
But if it's orders and things like that,
you want a reliable queue.
You use reliable queue.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So that's what this is. I'll quickly show the code mm-hmm. That backs it up. So again, it's a SignalR application, like yep. any SignalR. All I had to do was add the NuGet package for the Redis backplane.
Right. This is a released and supported package from the SignalR folks.
Yes. And it's out there. It's been out there actually way before our Azure Redis offering. Mm-hmm. So I think it's been out there for a few years. I add this entry in here. In my global host, I use the dependency resolver. Mm-hmm. I tell it what Redis cache to talk to. Again, just an Azure Redis cache. Key important thing is I tell it, hey, here's a channel I'm creating, fireworks. Mm-hmm. That's the channel everyone will listen on. That's where the PubSub happens. Mm-hmm. And that's what is being used for these to communicate with each other.
And that's all you had to do?
That's all I had to do.
That's cool. So then anybody who's doing SignalR work today, maybe on a single website, they can scale out, add a second one, plug in Redis, and they're ready to go.
Yes.
Rock on. We're learning about all sorts of great application patterns with Redis and Azure here on Azure Friday. Mm-hmm.